Podcast. We are your hosts, Brandon Kelly
and Joe Hoagland, and our goal is to help you preach and lead better.
Hey, welcome to episode 14 of the Rookie Preacher Podcast. This is going to be, I think, one of the most helpful podcasts for you as a pastor, whether you have a staff or not, and something that for our time in the information age that we live in, and that's such a digital age that we live in, I think this is going to be one of those topics that is going to help you help your congregation in a big way. The topic is five ways to take your sermon past Sunday. And so as we look at the age in which we live in, people are on social media all the time, right, Joe? Most people, at least.
Yeah.
And they are engaged with blogs. They are engaged with podcasts like this. And they are spending time on their computer. And so what would it look like to take your sermon past Sunday? Because that's what we all want, right? We want the sermon to go to the heart and for people to take that message, that whatever that was, whatever that call to action was, we want them to take that with them to the workplace, to the home and to the community. And because that's when God's people do what God's people are supposed to do. Right. So Joe, what is number one? How do we start to take our sermon past Sunday?
Yeah. The first thing we have is sermon based small groups during the week. And you know, this is important because, you know, as Brandon was saying, you know, we want, when we deliver a message, we want people to have that, you know, in their heart longer than just that 30, 45 minutes on Sunday morning, which, you know, in a lot of cases, let's be honest, that's what happens. People hear the message and that's pretty much it. There's nothing past the hearing. You know, they think, you know, that's all they need. And then they walk out and never remember it again. So as we look at this, when we can integrate it into a small group during the week, maybe not, a word for word rehash of a sermon, I wouldn't want to do that, but something that's related to the sermon, something that reminding of the principle of the sermon or the main point. Because, you know, this is something that when people sit down in a small group, you know, they can discuss these things, which maybe isn't something that they're doing on Sunday morning. They can say, hey, this is how this works in my life, or this is how I've seen it in my life, or this is what I struggle with in my life. And it's something, you know, they can, or even see, maybe even see the point from a different perspective from their small group leader or from other people in their small group or things like this. And, you know, instead of just, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a small group or a class or whatever during the week that's different from the sermon or completely different or something that's completely, you know, out there. But when it is related to the sermon or the topic of the sermon or goes along with a sermon series or the themes of what you're preaching, you know, then people can, you know, it's a more unified, coherent, you know, teaching stream that they can then say, okay, this is really important to my life. This is something that really needs to happen. So I think that's important when we look at it. And Brandon, when we talk about this, what's some specific ways maybe you've seen this done or you've done this in your church, relating, you know, sermons and then small groups as well?
To me, it's sermon-based small groups are an art because if you have a staff person over sermon or over small groups, then it makes it a little easier. But even if you don't lose heart, because as the pastor, as the one who's preaching the message, I don't think it's difficult to say, okay, now I'm done with my message. What would be five questions I would want to ask someone that are action oriented? Like, that's so important. This small group is not meant to be a Bible study. It's different. You are going to look at the Bible and see what it says and study that, so to speak, but you are going to point people toward action, not toward information. The information is being used to push people to action. So that's a big thing for us at The Crossing with our, we call them community groups, but it's the same thing. And so sermon-based small groups, couple ways. Pastor, if you are preaching the message take a little bit of time and write down 5 questions after your message is completed that you would want people to answer in light of your message. And that would be a good start, because if you don't have a staff, then that you're going to be the one doing it anyway. So I would say while it's fresh, just write those things down. And then if you do have a staff member over small groups, then it's going to be a big idea for you to not just send your message to them, but to talk it over with them and say, hey, this is the things I'm trying to accomplish. These are the themes of the message. And that just makes it easier for them. Now, you don't necessarily have to go over the same text even. You could follow the same theme of the message, and that would be good too, because what we've discovered is that sometimes people, if the sermon-based small groups aren't done real well, then people will get kind of like, they'll start feeling like, well, we're just regurgitating whatever the message said.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like they get it. So you have to do it and do it well and come at it from a different perspective, but still with the same application idea. So, and if you're not preaching application in your message, if you're not pointing people towards challenging the action, to take action, then this is going to be hard to do because you want your small groups to be action oriented.
Yeah.
That way people can hold each other accountable. Hey, did you do this? Did you not do this? And that's a big part of growth.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's good. And it's something that, you know, if your sermon is not pointing people to action, as you were saying, you know, this thing, it's just going to be a Bible study, like you said earlier. It's just going to be giving people information in your sermon. And then, you know, you're not going to be able to do this very effectively or very well because, you know, all you're doing is giving people information instead of, you know, pointing them in the direction, you know, they should live better.
Yeah. And some people can make the application for themselves. I mean, it's, you know, listening to a message and us not giving them a specific challenge doesn't always mean that people won't apply it, but we have the responsibility to point people towards something specific, because there are going to be people who are like, okay, that was a nice message, but so what?
Yeah.
Like I get it, but what am I supposed to do in response? And so I think having like a very specific call to action is very helpful.
Yeah.
And it may not always be like invite your friend to church or serve or give. It may just be approach God in this kind of way this week, like, and try and boil it down to something practical.
Yeah. Yeah. And
meet life.
Right. Yeah, so that was the first one. You know, sermon-based or preaching-based small groups during the week with the topic, with the theme, with the main point.
And a couple of tools, Joe, yeah. Real quick, a couple of tools that I think pastors can use to send these, like, the questions out, because, you know, it boils down to, okay, how can I actually send it out? Like, should I just send an email? Should I post it on the website? What should I do? These are my recommendations. Either use Evernote or Google Docs, and then you can create a shareable link. That way, if you have edits after you send it out, you can edit that, and then when they go to that link to get it, they can already see the edits as like in real time. So there may be times where, you know, you thought this question would be good, and then you took a different route in the message, and you never updated the question. Mm-hmm. You'll want to update the questions, and that way they can see it in real time. And I would not necessarily post it, the questions, online unless you are unless you have people in mind, the people in mind who are not necessarily leading the discussion when you are writing it. So, like, if you want to like have it open for anyone. To me, it's better if you just send it to the leaders of the groups.
Yeah.
That way, it just works out better for me, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, that's, Yeah, that was our first one, and you know, some good practical things there about sending them out that Brandon added. So Brandon, after, you know, well, I'll ask a question about this, about our first one. You know, if I'm a pastor sitting here and I don't have sermon-based small groups, tell me why, in just a, you know, short, concise way, why should I put in the extra work? You know, why should I come up with questions? Why should I try to unify this theme for a sermon-based small group? You know, if you're just telling someone, hey, to do this, you know, why would I want to do this? Why would I want to put in the extra work and do this, you know, next month?
All right, here's my elevator pitch. When you engage in doing sermon-based small groups, what you do is, I'll tell you the what, and then I'll tell you the kind of the why. What happens is you get everyone on board rowing the same direction in the boat. And that's good, right? We get some momentum. Because you are calling everyone, every single person to an action. And then not only are you doing that on Sunday, but you are having them come back and discuss it as a group. And then you have people holding each other accountable to do that action, which we talked about in the message. So you have God's people discipling God's people in the thing in which you called them to do. Now, that's great. But imagine what that would be like in your church if... And this is kind of the why. Let me just engage your imagination. Imagine what it would be like to have people taking action on your sermon on Wednesday when you preached it on Sunday, and then they talk about it in a small group, and then the next Sunday you hear about a story and you're able to tell that story to the rest of the congregation on Sunday about how when that person took action in their life in light of that sermon, in light of that small group, they took action and this is what resulted in it. Dude, that makes it so that people get on board with the vision of what Sunday is about. That it's not just, hey, let's gather together and be warm and fuzzy, but let's gather together so that we can be encouraged and challenged to go the rest of the week. And so for me, sermon-based small groups, and this is small groups in general, but sermon-based small groups are going to make it so that the message, the call to action sticks with people because they are having not just you ask them about it. You know, hey, did you do that? But they are doing it in relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. See, also, I think.
Is there anything to add on that?
Well, I'll just say that, again, you know, this, it's a good thing if you're kind of struggling with, you know, sometimes we just, oh, okay, we have three small group leaders, you know, teach whatever you want. Well, I heard a guy who did that one time, and one of his leaders ended up teaching out of the Jehovah's Witness, you know, main book in his church, you know, where they weren't Jehovah's Witness. So, yeah. I mean, that's a problem you might have in any kind of small group setting, but at least this way you have control and it's all unified in a way that can help your people.
Yeah, you need to have oversight.
Yeah. You know, if you don't have a small groups, you know, pastor, or staff member, you know, you're going to be the guy. Yeah. You're going to want to have that oversight there. So we'll move on past this now. So Brandon, after we do this sermon-based small groups, what is the next thing we can do to further our sermon throughout the week?
All right. Number two is a midweek blog post. Now you're already thinking to yourself that you are making me work so much more. I got to prepare a sermon and then some questions and now a blog post. What are you doing? Well, for me, I create content very consistently, and so come up with a blog post isn't difficult. If you get into the habit of writing consistently, not just for sermon prep, but for other things, this will make it easier for you. Wake up early in the morning, write, and get a blog. Like I've already written, and I'll link to the show notes on six reasons why every pastor needs a blog. At least I think so. Anyway. So number two is midweek blog post. So you can do this on a personal blog of yours, and it's really easy. Go to wordpress.com and you can get one set up for free, and it's not going to be fancy with, you know, a fancy URL or anything, but it's free and it's easy. Also, though, you don't have to just have a personal blog. You don't even have to do that at all. But your church, on your church website, if you use WordPress, it's pretty easy. Your theme should have blogging capabilities. And you can get it set up and use your church website to have a blog. I'll link to the Crossing blog in the show notes as well. You can see how our church is doing this. But the idea is, take your message and take a different angle on it. And if you follow blogs at all, you'll want to, you know, make a good headline, something that's engaging. Lists are always good, and you're promising them some kind of benefit, you know. So 10 ways to have a better prayer life would be an idea for you to write, or 5 ways, or however many ways you want to, you know, go about that. So if you had a sermon about prayer and you had a challenge about prayer, the sermon-based small groups were about prayer, come back around midweek or whenever you do it. We do it on Thursdays. Write a blog post that comes at it from a different angle and gives them some other tools to further their discussion, further their talk as far as making this happen in their own life. Because when we have like 16 different messages we send to people throughout 1 week, it gets fuzzy, it gets confusing. So instead of doing the old model where we have Sunday morning sermon, Sunday evening sermon, Wednesday sermon, and then, you know, some Bible studies or prayer meetings thrown in for good measure, all talking about different things, what we're trying to do is get our people towards one big idea, but maybe coming at it from different angles. So that's what the midweek blog post is. If you're not acclimated with blogging, just recommend just go to ProBlogger or Joe, what are some tools you found as far as blogging goes? What have been some helpful websites, or because a lot of pastors, they don't blog, and so for me to say write a blog post, it's not going to be the simplest of things.
Yeah, I don't.
YouTube has tutorials.
That's true. I mean, I started blogging in a limited capacity a while ago, and mainly what I did was I read other people's blogs. But you know, I mean, I'm sure I can't finger a specific resource at the moment, but I would say expose yourself. I mean, we've talked about this. I wrote an article on this for Rookie Preacher. Just read other people's blogs, and you'll see what's good and what's bad, what's working, what's not, what's good for you. So I would definitely say do that if you're going
to
start
blogging. We'll link to that as well in the show notes. So if you're interested in reading what Joe wrote about as far as being blog aware, we'll link to that.
Yeah, I would also say, I know this is not the most effective way to do this, I don't think, but if your church has a midweek paper, I know, you know, my mom's a secretary for a church, and they still send out a weekly paper. It's online now, but you know, they still send out some people, and write an article on that, or email out, if you have a church email list, email out an article. Start this way. You know, you don't necessarily, I mean, if you're trying to figure out how to get the plugin for a blog and how to start doing this effectively, while you're learning that, you know, just start sending out, you know, weekly, you know, a weekly email or a weekly article. You know, take it slow. You know, you don't have to be the best blogger in the world tomorrow, but build up to that. Because I think, you know, this is important to maybe put, you know, as a sermon-based small group, we can add a different perspective, different ideas, conversation. But this, you know, we can take it another way from ourselves, maybe add another Bible passage to the thing. We don't want to spread it too thin, but we can show people in more ways why this is so important. We can add things to their life, and it's something that if you do it well, people are going to look forward to reading and look forward to this every week. You know, how is this going to, you know, help me be a better Christian, follow Jesus better?
So just as an example, if I may, this past Sunday we started a brand new series called Come to Worship, and the first one was called Lift Up Your Hands. And we're talking about just the importance of lifting up your hands and surrendering to God before you can worship him. And so a couple of ideas I have for today's blog post, because it's going to be going on today. The first idea is number of great quotes on surrendering to God. So I'm just going to, if I do this one, I'm going to curate some good quotes of Christian leaders talking about surrendering to God, and then throw in some Bible passages on it. Or, the other idea is, do you know the number of ingredients to grow in your faith? And one of those is going to be surrendering on a daily basis. So those are some examples of, I took the topic of, or the theme of the message, and I'm working that into a blog post. Or, and like Joe said, use email, use whatever you have. I would love it if you move towards blogging, because when your congregation begins to share it on social media, that gets more exposure for your church.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And something I think you can do with this as well is when you're looking at the sermon series that you've broke into, you can either, you know, before the sermon series, kind of explain what you're trying to do, or after it, kind of recap it in a way where it all kind of flows together, unifies the message for your people, instead of, because, you know, that's the point of series. And many times if we're going on for 4 or 5 weeks, people might forget, you know, unless, even if you've done a good job saying, hey, this is how it unifies, they might forget how it's going together, or why it's going together. So something you can do there to clarify as well.
Yeah. And I'm assuming for a lot of pastors, they probably have some stuff that they didn't use, like they had to cut out of their message, mm-hmm. or they decided to table it. You can use that content you already have for a blog post, or for that midweek content. That comes at it from a different angle. Like you may have had to like cut something out, use that. And I've done that before too. And it's worked really well.
Yeah. Cause you had this, you know, you might have to leave, you know, 2 stories on the chopping block or whatever. And you think, oh, I really like right. that. Or maybe something out of the biblical context that you had to leave out, or, you know, something like that, you know, it was so cool, but you didn't really have time to add in, or you didn't think it was, you know, prevalent enough, you know, you can add that in and try to do it that way through the blog post, which is good, because a lot of times we thought, well, that was really good, but it just wasn't good enough to make the cut, or it just wasn't, something else is a better fit. So, you know, that's a good thing.
Another idea, quick idea.
Yeah.
If you're not comfortable writing, do a video. If you've got a smartphone, you can do a video, mm-hmm. and you can post that straight to Facebook or to YouTube or both, you know. Instead of actually writing it out, you can do a video blog and just say, hey, and do it like a 2-minute video and say, hey, it's me, and I just wanted to share this with you, and in light of, you know, the message and blah, 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 here's this. Want to encourage you, have a great week, love to hear your feedback, your comments, and then start a discussion. I think video would actually be maybe better for some pastors who,
yeah.
you know, they're stronger in delivery than they are in the content mm-hmm. creation. Yeah. That might be better.
And I don't know if you're in a younger if you're in an older church system, this probably won't work for you, at least not yet, but there's an app or a tool called Periscope. I've seen used to great effect by pastors, churches, and you record yourself live. So, I mean, have something prepared. I wouldn't just fly off the top of your head, cause that could be bad, but, you know, and then you can upload that and link people to it. You know, they have to have a Periscope account, I think. But, so again, that's why it would probably work better in younger. No, I don't use it because I'm in a context. But
with Periscope, you can do. There's a plugin, I think, to record it as well, so that you can mm-hmm. you can post it after the fact as well. You just have to get that separate.
Yeah. So yeah, that'd be a good tool to use as well. But yeah, I mean, yeah. Again, if you have a smartphone. And with this as well, you know, if you're thinking I don't have time to write a blog post, you know, if you do have a smartphone. And you have Evernote, Brandon has some great resources on Evernote, Google Docs or just even a note taking app. I mean, you can write anywhere. You're waiting in the doctor's office for an hour.
Yep.
You can, I mean, I've put out a whole blog post, you know, waiting somewhere where I didn't think I was going to have to wait or knew I had to wait. So I'll say, okay, I'm going to get this done here. You know, it's just kind of like, it's a great resource for you if you do have a smartphone or a tablet. or you know, whatever, or even a notebook, I guess. I mean, if you're more of a pen and paper guy and you want to get down your thoughts that way, but use your time wisely, which Brandon, I think that was on your personal site recently. You wrote on that, I think, right?
What was that?
Using your time wisely, and your commute and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, yeah. On my blog, I had 3 ways to make the most of your commute. Yeah, we'll link to that.
Yeah, so,
I talk about like audiobooks and podcasts and
I mean
stuff like that. But
if you're stuck in traffic, you can use audio to, or you know, voice to text or whatever, and drop down thoughts that way. I wouldn't do that when you're driving, you know, 70 miles an hour down
south. Or just take a voice note, you know, you just record yourself talking about an idea and you at least get it recorded.
Right.
And then you can go back and make a video out of it or make it a blog post or whatever. I mean, the idea is to connect with your congregation outside of Sunday. Like, that's the whole point, is to further the message past Sunday morning. So in order to do that, we've got to do some extra work, but I think it's going to be so, so worth it to do it.
Yeah.
Kind of going along with the blog post idea and video is number 3, and that is social media posts. Now, Joe, if you're in a context that doesn't have a whole lot of people using social media, then this isn't going to be applicable. Well, but I think as time goes on, more people are going to be on social media.
I mean, I don't know. Like, even my church, which is pretty, you know, older, you know, everyone's on Facebook. I mean, they're on Facebook a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if your grandma, I mean, not your grandma, but everyone out there, I mean, they're sharing, they share more posts than I on Facebook than, you know what I'm saying? I think everyone's pretty much, I think this is something in any context you have, you know, social media posting about, you know, what was in your sermon or the theme in your sermon. I think it's relevant to you. I don't really think there's an excuse for not using that in this day and age.
Yeah.
As we're looking
at that. Joe, what, first off, if a church is not on social media, what channels should they be on? How should a church decide what channels to be on? Because there's like a ton of social media accounts, and if you're on too many of them and you can't keep up with it, it does more harm than good.
Yeah, definitely Facebook. I would say for sure you should have a church Facebook page. My context, we have a group because some of the members were afraid of information in public or something like that. So I use them. I use the public page and I use the private group for different things. But definitely, I would recommend, if you can, 1 Facebook. I mean, I don't like keeping up with 2, but a public page, Facebook page, is definitely something you need. If you're a younger context, Twitter. Most definitely. And then I would say any context, Instagram for, I don't know, sharing pictures. Obviously, I'm not a big Instagram guy, but I think that would be important. Other than that, like we talked about, younger contexts, be on Periscope with video. But yeah, I would say, I don't know if you consider like YouTube and Vimeo, but you know, put your sermons on those kind of sites, or even your video blogs if you're doing that. But other than that, I wouldn't stretch to the edges of like underutilized sites, you know, just the main ones. And I would say if you have no social media presence right now, get a Facebook page for your church. And that's real easy. It'll walk you right through the process. Go to other churches' Facebook pages, look what they have, you know, that's real easy to set up. And then you can post, you know, throughout the week. And Brandon, I don't, so when I write a sermon, you know, I always boil down to 1 point. But, you know, in this last year, what I've done is I've made that hashtag. And I don't necessarily say that in my sermon because people wouldn't get it, I don't think, in my context. But so my main point is hashtag whatever, and I want to make it so if it's on social media, when it's on social media, it's something that makes sense. It's concise and it's catchy, rings a little bit, and something that you know, is an action or is action oriented, something that people can apply to their life. And I think that's an important part about social media posting, you know. And again, like, I wouldn't just, I mean, there are some church Facebook pages that I like or have seen, and it's like, you know, every day is a two paragraph post from whatever devotional. And I mean, that's okay, but it's something that it kind of can be grading sometimes. You know, try to put some original content on there, stuff that's specific to your sermon, to your small group, and things like that.
So as far as what you'll want to do when, because Facebook is mostly going to be where a lot of people are, find out where people already are and then go there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got 853 likes on Facebook, but on Twitter, let me just look it up real quick. We don't have 853 followers. However, we do have, let me look it up real quick. Sorry, it's taking long. 102 followers on Twitter. Yeah. So I see that as that's somewhat worth it. You know, it's not great, but not everyone's on Twitter. But we have. But well, Instagram, we have 117 followers, mm-hmm. and that's growing. And so we do Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you know, I use Instagram for one of the big things I'm going to talk about with this. With this way to further your sermon content. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, if I had a Twitter for my current church right now, like, I'd literally have 5 followers and they probably wouldn't even be in the church. I mean, so it's something that just isn't practical for me in my church and might not be practical for you in your church. So, definitely, like Brandon said, find out where your people are and don't go anywhere past that. Or also, I mean, yeah, that's what I would say. Just, I agree with that find where your people are and go there and use that.
And I would say it's important for you as a pastor to be on social media, because here's, people connect more with a person than they do with a brand.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, you should have a church social media account, but you should also have your own accounts as well. So if your church is on Twitter, you should be on Twitter. If your church is on Facebook, you should be on Facebook in your own, for your own self, like your own personal account, so that you can share the church's posts. You can, post different things related to your sermon. People connect with people. They don't necessarily connect with brands. They need to know that there's a person behind it.
Yeah.
So if you're active on social media, that's huge.
So Brandon, specifically to sermon content, what are things we can put on social media during the week?
What we do is we'll utilize, so if we're in a sermon series, we utilize the name of that series as a hashtag. A lot of people aren't getting to that yet. I mean, some of them get on board with it. Some of them don't. Sometimes we will challenge people to do something on social media and use the hashtag, and then we'll put it in, like, take a picture, and then we'll put it into like a collage. We've done that before. One of the main things, though, if you get good at sticky statements, then there's an awesome tool called Canva, CANVA.com. I'll link to it in the show notes. And it's a great tool to come up with graphics, like quote graphics, and all kinds of other graphics. That's what I use on my blog posts on Rookie Preacher and on BrandonKelly.org. But I also use them for the social media posts for our church. So I'll link to our social media page, our Facebook page, and you can kind of see how I utilize these things, because I utilize whatever the message is, whatever the topic or whatever the sticky statement is, I put that into a quote picture. And that way it just reminds people. And I usually do that maybe on Monday or Tuesday. And then we usually have we have video and audio that go online typically like Tuesday. So I'll usually post that as well. So those are two different things right away that are reminding people of the message. So I use Canva. It's a great resource. And then some free websites for like stock pictures that help for the background stuff.
Yep. All right. Yeah, that's good. And I would, you know, caution you against making a Facebook page just program oriented, you know, kind of like cluttered, like, okay, well, the women are meeting this on this day and then whatever. I mean, you can make announcements on there, definitely, but
balance it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the great thing about, you know, people, you know, I've had people tell me, oh, you know, doing this stuff is a waste of time, or the social media, you know, using it for as a pastor or as a church is a waste of time, but it's really not in this day and age. You know, this is how people find your church. This is how people find out what you're about. This is how people can take things in their life and hear or further through the sermon. You know, this is a great tool to use. And I mean, obviously there's caution just like anything else, but if you're not even trying to utilize social media in your church, I think you're missing the boat at this point. I mean, it's something that is just prevalent in the majority of our culture's life. And in that sense, we need to try to communicate, you know, Jesus, the importance of Jesus to them, to those in your church, and that using that medium. And it's something that, you know, beyond just, hey, prayer requests, events, so-and-so, whatever, which, I mean, you can use it for that too, obviously, but, you know, also use it to help teach, help motivate, help, create action in people's lives.
Yeah. My filter with anything online, as far as a strategy for church is, how can we help people? How can we add value to people's lives spiritually, emotionally, all that stuff? How can we add value? So that's what we need to focus on. And yes, do announcements, but man, you need to do that for every 3 or 4 times you add value, because it's perceived as, hey, come do this with us or do this for the church. When we want to say, hey, this is stuff for you. And by the way, here's something from you, you know, balance the for and from, and try and give more than you receive. Number 4 is practical next steps. We've kind of alluded to this a lot. But Joe, I think pastors need to boil it down to, here's the next step you can need to take in your walk with God in light of this message. And it can be very simple. And I do this at the end. You can see how I structure sermons. I'll link to that as well. Joe, do you have any thoughts on this as far as boiling down to practical next steps?
Yeah, I mean, once you have done the work to do that, you know, here's the practical next step. Again, you can use what we've talked about to further that in your people's minds, using small groups, using blog posts, using short social media, you know, snippets or whatever, to reiterate that. And again, you know, if you're not motivating action in your sermons, you know, start to do that, because it's something that, you know, what's the point of preaching if it's not motivating, you know, positive action towards Jesus in people's lives? So again, you know, it's an idea where, you know, yes, we need information, but we also need action, and action is the most important. You know, if someone who has little knowledge other than the gospel story, and they're out there doing all this action, you know, trying to follow Jesus to the best ability, opposed someone who knows everything about the Bible, but they don't make any action, you know, who's the better disciple in that situation? And, you know, I'll let you make that call. But the thing is here is that we can use all these mediums to encourage practical next steps in people's lives, you know, and we do that in the sermon, or try to do that in the sermon. We can enhance that throughout the week with these different things. And, you know, with this one, I mean, you know, we talked mostly about, social media, digital stuff, you know, but personal conversations can enhance practical next steps, you know, with the people, in your life, and, you know, specific people you've said, hey, I'm going to disciple these people, because you don't want to be that person for everyone in your church, no matter what the size. You don't want to be the discipler of every person in your church. You know, that's just, you're going to spread yourself way too thin. It's just not going to work. But, you know,
yeah,
certain people you've picked, hey, you know, this is, I can have a conversation about this, and here's how I can, in a personal conversation, enhance these practical next steps in their life as well. And, you know, something that as you're thinking throughout the week, hey, maybe it's not something we mentioned, but this is what I can do to encourage practical next steps in people's life in my church. You know, go ahead and try that, do that. Because it's something that, you know, you shouldn't just shut down your sermon after Sunday morning. You know, it's something that needs to live, you know, throughout the week, throughout people's lives. That message, that action, that content needs to inspire beyond just the 40 minutes on Sunday morning. And that's something to keep in mind too. You know, what ways in your context, what creative ways can you come up with? What's your strengths that you can then inspire practical steps in a few people throughout the week? And how can you do that?
Yeah. Some examples of the things that you could challenge people to do. And you can do this at the end of your sermon and then push it on social media, push it in emails, however you guys communicate, and definitely, you know, through face-to-face conversations. You could challenge people to spend some time in silence, like each day, pray a certain prayer, read a certain portion of scripture, invite a friend to community group or to church, or fast on Friday, you know, Friday fast. Or anything. You can just challenge them to do anything that's related to the message. And Joe, number five is one that people may write off, but I think this is probably going to be another podcast or another blog post, but it's not so far out of the realm of possibility. Number five is write a book.
Yeah.
A real book. And for me, this is one of the reasons why I think manuscripting your message is a good practice. Not that you have to preach from the manuscript. I don't. I still manuscript, though. I bullet down back to an outline from what I preach from. But when you manuscript your message, that's there for however long you keep it to be like reutilized in other forms. And one could be as a book, and you'd have to expand on it probably, but it's not so out of the realm of possibility. Self-publishing is easy. You could go on to Kindle if you had content to upload. You could create an ebook and sell on Amazon very quickly. And you can also do their you can actually do like paperback books as well. Like it's not that difficult. So if you really want to further your sermon content, if you want to get it past Sunday, write a book.
Yeah. And that's something you could do. And, even just, you know, provide for free to your congregation or something like that. Like,
absolutely.
You know, not necessarily making a profit off of it or whatever, but yeah, that principle, that's something that if you're a talented writer, if you have that aspiration, you know, definitely, you know, even just the, you know, EPUB files, eBooks, it's made it so easy to just, you know, do it yourself. I mean, it's not easy, but it's something that is a lot easier than, you know, in traditional formats where you had to send it to a million publishers to get it approved and all that stuff. I mean, you can self-publish your own book, as Brandon was talking about. And so, yeah, if you have the aspiration, that's definitely some way that you could further a theme or an idea with your people, and so that could be a good thing for you.
I just saw recently, I was on Netflix trying to find like what the new stuff was on Netflix yesterday, and I saw that there was a new thing on Netflix called Death to Selfie. Now, I knew that was a sermon series that Elevation Church did in the past. And I think they turned it into a book. I don't know. They have their sermons on Netflix.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like all
of them? Which I've never seen before. the series.
That's Death one series. Okay, yeah.
It's like five. Yeah, nice. They're like five messages. And I just thought that was creative. Like that was, let's get to where people are. They've already got their messages on YouTube, mm-hmm. but they put it on Netflix, which I think is interesting because that seems like that's something that could happen more of. Where the gospel can get pushed into a realm where it's not necessarily there in that form.
Yeah, and that's something like if you're on YouTube and you have no, and you're not looking for sermons or Jesus or anything like that, you're never going to come across that. But if you're on Netflix, you might see Death to Selfie and you're like, oh, that's interesting. Like, check it out. I mean, that's something that, that's a creative idea. I like that.
So there's your bonus. That's the sixth way. Get on Netflix. that's good. So hopefully this podcast has helped you. This is going to be like a very highly linked show notes. Like if you are interested in any of these things, we've got the links in the show notes. So go to rookiepreacher.com and look for episode 14 and you'll see all the different things that we are going to point you to. And those are there so that it will be a guide and a help for you as you seek to move your sermon past Sunday, because that's what we want, right? That's what we want. We want people to have lives be changed. And one of the ways we can do that is encourage action and get everyone moving in the same direction. So hopefully these have been helpful. If they have, if this podcast has been helpful for you today, would you do us a favor and go on to iTunes or Stitcher and subscribe and leave a rating and a review? Doing all three of those really help this podcast get in front of more pastors. And that's what we want. We want to help pastors preach and lead better. And so if more people are acclimated with this podcast, then that's going to help this podcast help more pastors and in turn help more churches preach the gospel and reach more people, which is what we want to do, right? So thanks so much for joining us. And until next time, keep preaching, keep leading. And you can also subscribe at rookiepreacher.com. We've got some awesome resources for you. So go ahead and check that out.